Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Dan Hynote, Preds assistant coach, will join us at 7:30. Preds taking on the Ottawa Senators tonight on the road. So a quick one-game road trip for the Predators. They're back home on Saturday against Florida, back-to-back this weekend. Florida on Saturday at home, Pittsburgh on the road on Sunday as well. So schedule's heating up for the Predators coming down the stretch here, and they've got a lot of games in the next few weeks. Not much rest time coming up either for the Predators. Good news for the Preds last night. Vegas loses to Vancouver. So now the Predators with three games in hand on Vegas and a two-point lead. So you're feeling good about that. Have to take care of business tonight against the Ottawa Senators. Big win against Minnesota the other night on Tuesday, and Eli Tolvanen was not a part of it for the Predators. He was scratched in that game. Matt Luff coming in the lineup on the fourth line. They shuffled the lineup around a little bit. Granlund playing with Cunning and Duchesne. Tomasino playing with Forsberg and Johansson. And Eli Tolvanen not a part of things. We talked about this briefly yesterday, Joe, but this is the first time that I believe the first time that Tolvanen's been a healthy scratch this year. I have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure it is.
This year, yeah.
And we've talked so much about, you know, I think they've been largely happy with the way that he's played away from the puck. I mean, you can see he's made some, I think, some pretty good strides defensively and really doing everything that they've wanted him to do since they, you know, were talking about him and drafted him when he was 18 years old. In terms of playing away from the puck and learning the North American game, all these things, I think he's done a pretty good job of that for the most part this year. The offense has dried up at this point. And, you know, you look at his season so far, just production-wise, it's not been anywhere near where I thought it would be this year. I mean, we saw him last year with the stretch he went on the power play. Now, he did calm down. He got hurt at one point last year and came back from the injury. And as they went into the playoffs, the numbers were not the same. But you're talking about 65 games played at this point for Eli Tolvanen. He's got 9 goals, 21 points in total on the season. That's a far cry from where I thought he could flirt with 20, 25 goals this year on a full-time basis. And, I mean, he's just not going to approach that at this point. So my question for you, my question for Predators fans is, what is your level of concern on Eli Tolvanen at this point? Keeping in mind the fact that he is 22 years old. He'll be 23 here in the next couple of weeks. And the production has been what it's been this year. What are your thoughts on him as they try to move forward with him the rest of this season and kind of figure out what they've got moving forward this season and beyond with Eli Tolvanen?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the concern level has to be somewhat high. I'm not willing to say, you know, he's never going to be a productive top six forward in the NHL, but I thought this was the year he'd cement that. It's funny because you go back to preseason predictions, I could pat myself on the back and, you know, see, like if I was Jared, I'd be like, hey, I said they'd be in the playoffs, and there you go, I was right. But I also said that one of the big reasons was because Eli Tolvanen was going to have a huge year,
yeah,
and I couldn't have been more wrong about that. I think actually Ving and I both, I think, in separate prediction things, one of us said Cunning's going to have a huge year. One of us said Tolvanen.
I think he said Cunning would lead him in scoring.
He did that, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's, and he didn't have him going to the playoffs even. But
I mean, I said they'd finish seventh in the division, so I can't say anything.
Yeah, so there you go. So we all see it's good to go ahead and point out your failures too. Humility is a good part of life.
It
anyway,
is.
Tolvanen, I don't know what to think of him. Because there's absolutely no science at all to it, but we've talked about it. We talked about it yesterday. I have no scientific, you know, analysis to add. I just think his shot looks different and less lethal.
I don't know. I agree. I do. And, you know, I still think he can do a better job of finding ways to get open and use his shot. The problem with that is, like, that – we've talked about this ever since he came up. Like, he doesn't really do anything physically that's really all that impressive. Like, he doesn't have breakaway speed. Obviously, he's not the biggest guy at 5'10", 190. You know, I think he's done a good job of adding a physical element to his game, and he doesn't get pushed around out there or anything. But it's not like, you know, Phil Tomasino, you can tell when he, and we'll talk about him here in just a few minutes, but when he kicks it into a different gear, he can move. Like, he's got some good quickness and speed to him. Forsberg, you know, he can basically one-on-one. You like his chances going up against just about anybody in this league. Like, Duchesne's got quickness. He's got speed. He's got creativity. Like, Tolvanen's never really been that guy. He's just been able to use that shot because it's been lethal. If you can't get open to use your shot, that's a problem. And it just kind of feels like he's not really finding all that much space this year. Now, having said that, when he does, it still feels like the shot's just not quite the same. And I don't know what to think about that, because, I mean, from the moment I saw that kid step on the ice, even when he was raw and young and was really nowhere close to being NHL ready, the shot's always been an NHL quality shot. And it still is. I'm not saying it's not an NHL quality shot. It just looks different this year, and it's difficult for me to explain how a guy with that shot has 9 goals in 65 games. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, 6.6%. To put it in basketball terms, which I know, like, I'm sure hockey people who hate basketball hate people putting it in basketball terms, but Tolvanen's almost like the, you know, in the NBA, if your skill is at a certain point, then you can sacrifice some of the athleticism, things like that, that people think have always been necessary. I'll go back to Steph Curry and Johnny Flynn. A lot of people thought Johnny Flynn was a better prospect because he's a way more explosive athlete than Steph Curry. Well, your skill, obviously, the skill overwhelmed that. Tolvanen, some people were not high on him in that draft because of some of these things. He doesn't have the physical characteristics of, you know, of a great forward like some of these other guys you mentioned. But when your skill is that, when you have that one weapon that's so good, that can compensate for a lot of that, which, again, I thought we were seeing finally play out last year.
Yeah. Well, I also, at this point, given what it's looked like for him this year, I wonder how much of it's confidence too, right? Like, there was a point last year where it started to go in for him, and he was just picking corners left and right. And, you know, a lot of it came on the power play. I understand. But, you know, that shot, I mean, you're talking about some of those goals that he had last year. I mean, it's the size of a coffee cup that he was putting that puck in. And that's happened maybe twice this year with Tolvanen. I mean, you don't see that a whole lot. And I just wonder, as it's gone on, and it's become, I think, more and more difficult for him offensively, how much has his confidence been damaged? I don't know the answer to that, but that would be my question kind of as they move forward here with him.
Yeah. Well, confidence is everything. I mean, it's, I don't care how long you've been playing, at whatever level you're playing, in whatever sport it is, it's paramount. It's a huge part of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's clear he's lost a fair amount of that. And then there's the question of, is he actually someone who has, you know, not benefited from focus on the style of play? But it's hard, as you pointed out. Look at some of these guys who have, absolutely. So it's hard for me to blame that. But I guess if you're so focused on all these other things to make sure you can keep yourself on the ice to use that weapon, does the weapon suffer?
Well, and the other part of this is, I mean, a lot of times we have these conversations with young guys, and it's about, well, he's just not getting a good opportunity. He's playing on the third line or the fourth line. I mean, Tolvanen's been with Granlund a lot this year. He was with Johansson a lot this year, and regardless of who he's been with, it just hadn't worked offensively. So that part is probably more concerning to me than anything else. Clay from Cunningham on the text line says, medium level of concern, maybe letting him play with Cody Glass in Milwaukee for one more year and then readdressing the situation after Tolvanen hasn't been amazing this year, so slotting him out for another player shouldn't be a huge drawback. This is coming from Clay on the text line. Chip from Mount Juliet texting in saying, Poile lost an opportunity to trade Tolvanen a few years ago when he was a hot commodity, but how was Poile to know? This is coming from Chip on the text line.
Another one says, Tolvanen's a finesse player on a team full of gritty players. Well, you still have to have skill and finesse. And
actually, he's been pretty physical this year, though.
Right, that's the thing. It's just now that he's getting scratched.
Yeah.
Right. So I think he's actually supplied the grit they're looking for. And look, I mean, you're going to tell me that Matt Duchesne is a quote-unquote gritty player? I mean, right. Matt Duchesne is he's done everything. John Hines' ass, and I think it's a great example of when two people can come in the middle on something and kind of see each other's side, you could really benefit both of them a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have – it's not all gritty. It's not like this is an entire herd line team.
No.
Everybody's not Tanner Jeannot. You got to have finesse and skill, too. You got, I mean, and for the texter who said, you know, you got Tomasino now, so get rid of Tolvanen. Well, I think you need, ideally, you need both of those guys.
It'd be nice to have multiple good young players.
Yes. Yes.
On rookie contracts, or at least low cost contracts.
Low, yeah. So, I don't know. Is it anything like, it's different because Fabro was so thrust into this right away, but you know, Fabro last year there was concern.
Yep.
And he came back and he's to me largely
he's been pretty good.
Quieted that. He's been he's a top 4 level defenseman and I don't think he was last year. So there's still hope.
Yeah.
Could Tolvanen be next year's Fabro, but this year I'm not sure that he contributes again. I don't know.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to why I think another young guy should be very exciting for Predators fans as they move forward here. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote coming up at 7:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the text line, it's time for you to know your numbers. If you answer this correctly, will qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Arca Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader coming up on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 on Sunday, April 24th as well. The text line, today's question is, all current drivers, Joey Logano minus Austin Cindric minus Ross Chastain equals this current drivers. Let me do that again because I just totally butchered it. Joey Logano minus Austin Cindric minus Ross Chastain equals this current driver. If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You'll be qualified to win some tickets to go down to Dega. Watch some races coming up later this month.
Chase, on Friday, I want you to throw in a little either multiplication or division. Come on.
Yeah, we've got to have square root, maybe.
Step it up. These answers are coming fast.
They are.
Make it tough.
Square root. We need square root.
Yes. There you go. The square root of this driver. That would be. Let's do it.
Going back to the text line, I got a text that says, Tolvanen is snake bit. His underlying numbers are good, better than Cunning and Cousins. Duchesne was snake bit last year, and this year he is thriving. To give up on Tolvanen and see him thrive on a different team, a la Fiala Hartman, would be major failing on Hines and Poyle. Hopefully this reset will help. I hear you. I would hesitate on the Duchesne comparisons with Tolvanen. Reason being, we've actually seen prior to the last 2 years Duchesne produce in this league, and quite frankly, we just have not seen that yet from Ellie Tolvanen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more track record there. Seth says Tolvanen needs more opportunity to play with playmakers. Being stuck on the fourth line most of the year may have helped him develop defensively, but it's stunted his offensive growth. As you said, I think he hasn't been on the fourth line
most of the year.
No.
Like, he's been with Johansson a lot. He's been with Granlund a lot. Like,
yeah, they've tried to give him the opportunity. Yeah. I don't think this is a question of he's just been stuck down there and hasn't had his chances.
Well, and also, Philip Tomasino has been stuck down there most of the year. And look, his numbers aren't going to blow you away, but he's got 11 goals and 17 assists on the year, 28 points. He's already had more points this year than Tolvanen's ever had in a season for Philip Tomasino.
Now, what do you think about, you know, the underlying numbers, the you know, because Seth also says, I prefer he play as Granlund's second-line wing instead of Cunning. What about the wrong guy got scratched, like Dennis said?
Well, look, I think you can certainly make an argument. I mean, Cunning has been pretty unimpressive to me this year. It is what it is. I've not been impressed with Cunning,
And I thought he came on really strong at the end of last year. He was good in the playoffs.
He was.
And, you know, I thought they were maybe finding something with him, and I think he's taking a step back this year. So, you know, you could certainly make the argument that they scratched the wrong guy. And from Tolvanen's perspective, I mean, what's he shooting, 6% right now? I mean, it's – you would think eventually that's going to go up. So, look, I'm not saying that some of this isn't just bad luck, but I don't think it's all of it. And, look, quite frankly, I don't think all of it with Duchesne last year was bad luck. Like, I think it's easy to sit here and say that now, that maybe he was just extremely unlucky last year, but it was more than that. Matt Duchesne, goals aside – was not playing the way last year that he is right now.
No, that's not. Yeah, it's not like we're watching. Oh, the exact same player. It's just going in for him now. It is amazing, by the way, that this team has four. I'd like to see that in the record books. Four guys basically at 20%.
Yeah.
I mean, Forsberg 22-2. Duchesne is just right there at 19-8. But four. I mean, how many times have Preds had that?
Probably never. Well, I say that. For guys that play every game, I'm sure.
Well,
that
you got to have a certain, you got to have a certain number of it. Yeah, you got to qualify.
Right.
But for qualifying, this, you know, four key forwards being at 20% right now.
Yeah.
And then the contrast of, you know, of the season of Tolvanen is even more stark.
I got a texter on the text line that says, "Y'all think Tolvanen will play in Milwaukee the rest of the year and go with Matt Luff, or what do y'all think?" Like, I'm pretty sure, like, Tolvanen's on a one-way contract, isn't he?
I think that's right.
So, you're not putting him on waivers to send him to Milwaukee. So, no, he's not going to play in Milwaukee. And I don't think he needs to play in Milwaukee. Like, I don't think him playing in Milwaukee is going to do him any good right now.
I mean, I'd like to see him have a reset and get another shot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's going to get back in the lineup. Like, they're not rolling with Matt Luff the rest of the season. I could be wrong, but I feel pretty confident that despite my idea of the get the puck to Matt Luff t-shirts, they're leaving. Ellie Tolman is going to be back in the lineup at some point. So I don't think this is going to be like some long-term thing. Now, is he going to get back in there tonight? I don't know. Like, it'd be pretty difficult for me to change much up from the other night if I was John Hines. So my guess is he probably won't get back in there tonight, but he'll be back in there at some point coming down the stretch.
It would stand to reason. By the way, this math must be really stumping people. We're not seeing the stream of answers.
We got a winner, though.
We got a winner.
Oh, we do? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, actually, the same person who made a LeBron comment in the comment to you.
I was going
to
say, you can't be the same person who won already.
No.
Okay. Well, good. Congrats.
The one who said you're the leader of the boohoo team.
Yeah. Yeah. Congrats. Maybe he'll admit his name now.
By the way, the correct answer was Martin Truex Jr., in case you were wondering. So there you go. Martin Truex Jr., the correct answer.
I don't see that answer in there. Is this like how my video stream is from yesterday?
Probably. I think it may just be you.
Okay, I'm going to go back. Okay, here.
Because I'm looking at it right now, and it's in there.
Yeah, no, okay. The video stream does look like it's today now. I swear to you guys. I was holding up the little thing, and it was like going. Like it was. Wait. Okay, come here. Look
you
at this.
Get up.
Look at this. This is just tweeted out. This is yesterday. What's up with that? God. What's going on?
It's your computer. I don't know. It's fine on mine.
This is like the show. This is like a time travel show.
I don't know.
Inception.
We'll figure it out in the break.
I mean,
let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, do you think the Grimaldi situation where he got sent down for lack of defense is in the back of Tolvanen's mind, making his focus on defense rather than scoring? I mean, I don't think so, but that's an interesting thought there. I mean, look, there's no question he needed to be better defensively, but he is better defensively now, and he really has been all year. Like, basically, from the moment he stepped on the ice this year, he's been pretty good defensively, and I think he's been much better in those areas. So if you're worried about that, I understand being worried about that at first, but now you've been pretty good at the defensive part of it for a while now.
Well, it kind of goes along with what I was saying about focus. If you're so focused on all these things that you know have to get better, does that take away from the thing you do really well?
Yeah.
But the good counter is, look at how this system has benefited their top forwards.
Yeah.
So you would think it would benefit him. It just hasn't at all.
Michael in Clarksville texting in says, what if they put Tolvanen back on the power play with Forsberg that worked so well last year?
Yeah.
I'm not touching this power play. Power play has been really, really good from start to finish this year. I am not messing with the power play.
I'm not either, but I do think that that's – I mean, I think that's a lot of where he got rolling last year. I mean, a lot of where he got rolling was being in the left circle, Forsberg on the other side, and all of a sudden they finally found something, which had been the first time in a long time. So from his perspective, if I'm him or his agent or his family, I'm like, God, can we please get him back on PP1? But no, of course. You're not gonna. This is the best power play I've had in
a long time.
I mean, you tell me.
Like, I understand the idea of getting Tolvanen going, and maybe that would help. That's not worth breaking up what you've got going right now in the power play, in my mind. Like, the power play is, and Ekholm said it yesterday, and I guess I hadn't really thought about it in these terms until he said it, but Ekholm basically said, yeah, like, outside of goaltending, the power play has been the reason why we're sitting here right now. And I think he's right. Like, the power play has been really, really good and really, really consistently good from start to finish. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as they take on Ottawa tonight. MLB opening day is here, and right now all customers can swing for the fences with a no-sweat same-game parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just pick any MLB game and combine at least three bets. You can pick the winner of the game, the first home run hitter, and the total score, any way you want to take it into one bet for bigger payouts. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will refund you up to $10 in free bets. If you're not sure what to bet on, check out FanDuel's popular same-game parlays to see what most fans are betting and get in on the action as well. I've got my eye on the Dodgers this year. They are by far the favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook to finish the season with the most wins. Freddie Freeman in action with the Dodgers as well. So I would pick them to win most games, and they've got quite the stacked lineup. But you take it any way you want to take it. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to bet your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote. Looking forward to that conversation. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Ottawa Senators on the road. And Joe, this is a game where we talked about the strength of schedule, his impressive showing, especially on special teams for the Predators against Minnesota the other night. But an Ottawa team that, quite frankly, I didn't think you played all that well against last week, but you won 4-1. This is one you need to go on the road and take care of business tonight.
I mean, if they lose this game, like, it's going to be so annoying.
It is.
You know, it's because it really has become like this ping pong thing with the Preds. Wow, look at how they played in that big game against a good team. And, oh, man, did they just have a stinker against that not very good team.
we'll see if they can avoid that.
Now, granted, they did beat Ottawa 4-1 last week. It wasn't a great performance, but that's fine. That's what you're looking for. I don't know that St. Louis played all that great in their win over Seattle, but you just get it done.
Just get the 2 points.
Yeah.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote. Dan, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, doing great here in beautiful Ottawa.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Dan, what did you think of your team and their performance the other night against Minnesota, especially on the power play that just continues to be such a weapon for you guys as it has been all season long?
Yeah, you know, it's exactly. It's been exactly that for us all year. And I loved our performance against Minnesota. Obviously, they beefed up, you know, at the deadline to play a little bit more the style that we've been playing, or at least give them the opportunity to. And so both, you know, it was a war. We expected it, you know, four fights later, turned out to be a great victory for the boys. But yeah, the power play has been special all year. And, you know, we have the luxury of watching, you know, the stuff they're pulling off in practice. And you just shake your head sometimes because it's just, you know, I've been around power plays that click and then a lot of times they're just good. But this is a clicking power play, and they're feeling it, and they're everything's a one touch. They know where each other are. They got like 12 plays they run. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's for Preds fans, for the past several years, I mean, that used to be the biggest issue, and I mean, it feels like so long ago, Dan, but it just doesn't feel, it feels like this is natural now. Like, it's just everyone has that that instinct for each other, and like, you guys know that you're going to get good shots and good opportunities. How much of it is like chemistry, confidence, and how much is it just like structural changes that have just worked really well?
I think Dan Lambert has done a phenomenal job with the power play, and I think it takes time. I think when you have units, with guys that have been on the team for a while, like you look at, Boston, you look at Washington, you look at these power plays that have perennially, done well, it's because they're so used to playing with each other that it runs on automatic. And I think that's kind of what we're getting to here, is the guys have been together now for a little bit of time, and the unit's been together for a little bit of time. So a lot of it is instinct, and it's happening a lot quicker because they're just used to playing with each other. And, we practice it a lot, and they do great things in practice. So I think, structurally, that it's, the coaching has been fantastic, but I also think the chemistry of having played together now over a lengthy period of time helps a ton.
Dan, what did it do for the bench the other night to see Johansson get his first hat trick in over 770 games in the NHL? What was that like on the bench to watch that moment happen?
Oh, it was so great. Obviously Joey's a big cog in our machine, and he's probably the most well-liked teammate. So everybody pulls for Joey all the time, and he does a great job keeping this team tight and keeping things loose. And so, I personally didn't know that he hadn't had one over the course of his career, because he's had, statistical success. So I was surprised to find out that was his first, but the boys couldn't have been happier for him.
So what's the coach? It's interesting, Dan, because it does seem like you guys are sort of, and I know, look, most of the rest of the schedule here, very difficult, very good teams that are going to be in the playoffs, but it's maybe still fighting for something. But you kind of have been kind of toggling back and forth between that and then teams that are out of it and just a totally different mindset and things like that. Now, another game like that tonight, what's the coaching approach there?
Well, they basically ran us over last time we played against them. So, like you said earlier in the show, you gotta find ways to win those games when you're not playing great. But for us, it works in our favor because, you can warn them all you want about this team that you're about to face, that despite where they are in the standings, they're a very competitive team, and they've been whooping on some teams. So, you warn them, but at the end of the day, they have to experience it for themselves, and thank God for our goaltending that game, because that game could have been the other way, 4-1, easy. So, I think it sets up well for us because it's just happened. And our guys, they remember the feeling of getting, worked by these guys. So you're not going to come in here and take them lightly because of the beating they put on us last time.
Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, what have you thought of Eli Tolvanen's play so far this year? Obviously, he wasn't in the lineup the other night, and he's done, I think, a lot of really good things away from the puck. The production just hasn't quite been there consistently. What overall, where do you think he is right now with his game?
You know what? This will probably go down as one of the hardest and probably one of his most memorable years. I bet 5 years from now, when you ask him, why he's done so well over the course of the next 5 years, it'll be because of this year. It just isn't going in for him this year, but he does so many other things well. And that's what I'm getting to, is he is a 200-foot player. And when the puck starts going in for him, he's going to be extremely valuable because of that, right? So he's had to figure out how to be a big part of this puzzle without scoring, and that's a hard thing to do when you're used to scoring. So, his shot blocking's been fantastic. His hitting has been fantastic. His tracking, his reloads, basically all the stuff that you need to be good at when you're not scoring, he's been good at. So, you know, it's been, I think it's been a really trying year for, you know, for his confidence with the puck, but everything else in his game is really good. So I think this year will serve him very well going forward because of all the stuff he's had to learn and contribute with this year. And then when it starts going in, you know, that's just going to be icing on the cake.
Is the idea right now maybe just a break, a reset, clear the mind and get back at it for him?
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes that's all it takes, right? You just, you get a little break, you step away from the game, the pressure kind of fades away and you know, you get a little perspective, you know, both in your personal life and in your hockey life. So I think it's great, you know, for a player to go through it now and again, just for exactly that. It's a nice reset. You know, we've been skating him the last couple of days and he looks like a new player out there. He's flying, he's scoring, he's got a smile on his face. You know, sometimes that's all it is. Sometimes you just got to take that break from the game, and then all the pressure goes away, and now it's just kind of, I can just play. And I think you're going to see a new player when he comes back.
Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, to that point, I mean, Tomasino I thought was really good the other night, and it feels like as the season has gone on, he's getting better and better. What are you noticing out of him? And I guess how impressive is it as a rookie that, you know, you're almost 70 games in here now and he's not wearing down, at least seemingly not wearing down?
No, and that's the crazy thing, because usually with rookies, games 60 to 80, they just fall off a cliff. And, you know, it's not like our game or style of play is an easy one for a rookie. So
yeah.
So I expected that to happen to him sooner than game 60, but he just keeps coming. And keeps battling, and he's actually getting better as the season progresses, which is really rare for a young player. So I'm really impressed with his evolution as the year has gone on. You know, obviously he doesn't quite have that man strength yet on the battle, but that'll come, and he's still doing a really good job on the battle. So I think we're going to see a special player develop here over the next couple of years once he does start to get that strength and that understanding of what he's capable of physically in this league, because, you know, his compete's really good. He's not afraid, and, you know, you see what he's capable of doing with the puck. He's got great vision, but he's not afraid of the puck. He's not afraid to get hit with it. He's not afraid to go to the hard areas. So I've been really impressed with him all year, and I kept waiting for him to fall off, and he's only getting better. So that's a great thing for him and for us.
Dan, what have the discussions been like from you guys on the Duchesne Forsberg dynamic? Of they've been so good together. Obviously, they're together in a power play, and that's lethal. But then that versus, well, but if you had one of them, the way they're both individually playing, one on each line, now you strengthen two lines. Like, how have those discussions gone? And how do you think where do you think that goes from here?
Well, you know, you like to have your scoring spread out. You know, the problem as you get closer to playoffs or in playoffs is, you know, trying to find open ice for your big boys. And when they're all on one line together, you're always going to see a top pair of D. You know, and you're certainly going to see 1 and 2, and you're probably going to see 3 and 4, but it's rare that you'll see 5 and 6. So if you spread them out, now you can get Forsberg against maybe a 5 and 6 D man, or Duchesne against a 5-6 D man, or they're not against the shutdown line. You know, like there's some, obviously you guys understand how that all works, but that was kind of the idea, is, you know, okay, well, we need balanced scoring throughout the lineup. You know, so maybe we can split those two up, because they're both really good at making the players that play with them productive. So, you know, with Dutchie and Granny, that, you know, they have chemistry. With Joey and Phil, they have chemistry. So it's a good, you know, problem to have, I guess, if you will. But that's kind of the idea, you know, as we go forward, is trying to have balanced scoring throughout the lineups.
Well, certainly worked the other night against Minnesota. I don't think there's any question about that. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Dan, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and good luck tonight against Ottawa.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. You as well. Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro.
We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Red Rant with Michelle Knezvik. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tonight for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cade. You could have drink specials, enter win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Ottawa Senators. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock tonight. Speaking of the Preds, make sure you tune in for Preds Pick to Click later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. That coming up later in the show at 8:45. Welcome back in. It is time for the Red Rant with Michelle Knezvik. Michelle's rant of the day. Michelle, I turn things over to you. I'm looking forward to this one.
Okay, guys. So this was my original rant that I was going to do last Friday that actually was sparked by your Cracker Barrel rant, Robbie.
Oh.
But obviously the car situation, that one had me really heated. But this one still really bothers me. So we all know that I love my coffee, right? I'm usually a Starbucks goer, Dunkin' goer. I can't make it, so I always buy it, which is a toxic trait of mine. But I'm at Starbucks a lot, right? And I get it. When you order a coffee, when you order a drink, you want it the way you want it. I get it, right? That's why you ordered it that way.
Sure.
So this happened to me twice last week. I'm in the Starbucks. Don't get me wrong. I don't like waiting for my coffee. Nobody likes waiting for their coffee or waiting in line. We get it. But, I mean, that's the reality. If you want your coffee, you got to wait in the line.
Especially at that place.
Exactly. So I live kind of in the downtown area. So I was at the Starbucks at the Gulch. And on a Saturday morning, I mean, if you're going into that Starbucks, you better be prepared to wait 25 minutes probably for your coffee or order in advance and beat the line. Okay. They only have a couple workers. It's very touristy down there. So waiting in line, whatever. And then I pay for my coffee. I go over to the side and I'm like waiting. It's like taking a while and there's a lot of people waiting. And this woman next to me, they finally bring her coffee out or whatever, and it's made wrong. And this lady looks at me as if I'm going to defend her or something and goes, I just waited 35 minutes for this freaking coffee, and it is made wrong. And she's like standing behind where the Starbucks workers are.
Which, by the way, there's probably no way it was 35 minutes, but yeah.
Exactly. First off, yes, it probably was 15. And she looks at the Starbucks worker and goes, thank you, right in her face. And I'm like, my jaw like dropped. I'm like, is this lady actually serious? Are you freaking kidding me? Right? Like, I was fuming and I just couldn't get words out of my mouth to be like, do you find joy in just belittling this woman who just made your coffee and has probably been here since 4:45 in the morning to open this coffee shop? When in reality, maybe if you were just nice and be like, hey, I know you're really busy right now and I know it's taking a really long time to make the coffee. Because believe me, when my coffee is made wrong, it's very frustrating, but they obviously didn't do it on purpose. And if you ask them nicely, be like, hey, I don't know if I said this, but I actually wanted this ice and not hot.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll take it back. Actually, they'll probably give you both because they're not going to sell the other one. And be like, oh my gosh, so sorry. Let me fix that really quick. It's going to take me a minute. I got a couple other orders. And you can wait the 5 more minutes. And then, okay, no, that's not the last of it. Then I was at the Starbucks over here near the office. And that one opens a little bit earlier so I can get there right before I have to come here. And sometimes I'll treat myself. And meanwhile, this is 5 o'clock in the morning. And they had like a couple people in line, right? And this lady's waiting for her food and coffee. This happened within days of each other. And I was just like, I need to say something about this. This is not okay. People being so absurdly rude to people making their coffee. So this lady was after me in line. I'm waiting for my coffee, just standing there minding my own business. And they're putting out mobile orders and everybody else's orders. And this lady is just grabbing all this food and like throwing it. This isn't mine. This isn't mine. This lady, why don't you look for the name? And you ordered after me.
There are numbers and names.
There are numbers. There are names. There are names. I didn't order this. She's just throwing it everywhere, and she's looking. She picks up the coffee. This isn't what I ordered. And the little Starbucks girl, who's maybe 16 years old, is like, oh, you ordered like a oat latte, yada, yada. And this, no, I didn't order that. I ordered it this way. And she's like, well, that's what I made you. She's screaming at this girl. This lady is probably 45 years old. This girl's 16. It bothers me to no end when people are rude to these people, because you can get your coffee made nice and normal if you are just kind and nice. And that's my rant, because it just makes me really mad when people are mean to people for no reason, especially when they're working and they obviously didn't mean to do it like that.
It's obvious these people have never seen Waiting with Ryan Reynolds in it, the movie.
I haven't seen it either.
Well,
I haven't
either. You watch that movie, you'll never mess with people who mess with your food. I can promise you that.
Well, there's a lot of things about this rant. There's a lot of possible offshoots. One is maybe stop hanging out with Starbucks snobs, but
well, there's that.
I love my coffee, and but listen, I'm more of a Dunkin' girl, but in the South, like in New York, there's a Dunkin' on every single corner, and I'm loyal to Dunkin', but here, there's just so far and few in between.
Well, we'll talk to Hal Gill about that later in the show.
That's right.
And they're popping up.
But the bigger thing is, that was my joking response, but the bigger thing is, yeah, be nice to people who are trying to, yeah, for one thing, yeah, people who do stuff with your food, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you might want to think about that. But really, just in general, it's so many people don't understand. I think you have to be on the other side of it maybe to get it. But if you act like that out front, you are so much less likely to get actually helped.
I know.
Like, you are hurting yourself, and people don't get it.
Exactly.
But they just can't figure it out, but they just have to be nasty.
If you actually want to fix your problem, there are better ways to go about doing it.
Right.
Now, I think there reaches a point with some people where they're no longer concerned about fixing their problem.
Well, look, if the person – yeah, exactly. Look, sometimes someone messes something up, or they're rude first or whatever, and then, you know, sometimes, hey, I mean, you got to stand up for yourself and all that, right?
Yeah.
But people who immediately jump to the stuff you're talking about, it's infuriating, but it's also stupid.
Oh, it is. And believe me, I've been a server before. I have a lot of friends who've worked in the service industry.
Yeah.
And I truly think that everybody, at least once in their life, should work in a tip-based serving industry. And some of the stories that I have and other people have are just absolutely absurd.
I couldn't do it. I'd be arrested. No question about it.
Robbie's screaming, and I'm like, Robbie'd be screaming at them, and I'd be like, I cry in the kitchen. Yeah.
The customer's always right, doesn't fly with me. That's not how that would go. And I'd be fired immediately.
Yeah, because you hear some stuff. So if anybody's listening, well, I know there are people listening to us right now in the radio, and you are having a bad day maybe and you want to take it out, don't take it out on people who just are completely third party, or just go out of your way to be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Just be kind to people, one, like the golden rule. But also, like, if you just want to think about it selfishly, you are harming yourself and your chances of actually getting help.
I mean, I ran into a situation like this last night. I was at an establishment in Greenbrier. I mean, it was Subway, so I'm just going to throw it out there. I was getting some sandwiches, and this woman in front of me, these two, like, 16-year-old kids are working the register up there. This one in front of me is like, is this combo cheaper than that? Like, is this cheaper? Like, can you tell me whether it's cheap or not? And then she kept changing her order, like, left and right after she had already picked out the sandwich. And I was like, oh, my God, it's a Subway sandwich. Like, if you can't figure this out, why are you coming here? It's not that hard. And if it's cheaper, it's, like, 20 cents cheaper. Just pay. Get out of the way. It was a 10-minute ordeal.
Yeah.
Also, we had a caller who just called in and said it's because of all the Yankees taking over the city.
Oh,
but I would like to point out that I am a New Yorker.
Yep. Come on.
And I'm kinder than some of these Southern people.
Yeah.
So Rex Rudd bringing his Michiganders down here. Michelle bringing his New York, bringing her New Yorkers down here.
Listen, don't get me wrong.
That's what it is.
There are some nasty upstaters, Northerners, and Southern people are way nicer. That's hence why I live down here.
Well, the tip thing, I mean, I haven't even, like, I got a treasure trove of stories as a pizza delivery boy. I mean, oh, like, yeah. Some.
Young Rex.
Some stories I couldn't tell in the air, too, boy.
But, riding on horseback, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Back when pizza was invented, yeah. but working, my first job, story time, working at the commissary as a bagger on King Abdulaziz Air Base in Saudi Arabia in seventh grade, only tips. The only money you get, they didn't pay me. I showed up there, I bagged for people, took it out to their cars, and the only money I got was this little box, and they put cash in it. And I made, like, I figured it out, like, more than $7 an hour.
Hey.
Untaxed cash. But you know what?
Back then, that's good stuff.
That is in the 80s, yeah. Right? But like there, I agree that our society would be so much better if people, if they were paid based on partial, in part, how they treat people, right?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I'd be making bank. You just kill him with kindness, right?
Right.
Nick, our intern, texted in. He said him and his grandma are listening right now on their way to St. Louis. She worked in the service industry 27 years ago and was like, oh, I understand the pain.
I'd be totally screwed. There's no question about it. It'd be rough.
Well, and like the infuriating, when you hear stuff like about like Scottie Pippen never tipping people when he goes out to like super expensive. I don't know if this is true or not, but this was
it's
what
been
I've
thrown
heard.
Out there.
Dude, that's so infuriating. These people make, like, that's how they
make
money.
You make, like,
that's
$3 an hour. Literally, $3 an hour, barely.
Cue the opening scene of Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Michelle?
There's no way.
Nope.
Just watch the opening scene. It's a great discussion on this.
Griffin on the text line says, thanks, Robbie. Lost my appetite thinking about that movie, talking about Waiting with Ryan Reynolds. If you haven't seen it, use caution.
When did this come out?
Probably mid-2000s.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's somebody spitting in food or something.
That's part of it. There are many things that happen. I won't go into detail, but there are many things that happen.
Yeah, it's not a myth. I mean, there are people who go there.
Yeah. That was a good rant. I enjoyed that
good
one.
Good rant.
Very nice.
Good red rant.
I've got a lot of thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the draft coming up later this month. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.